for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football. A world set to ignite this weekend as competitive non-league returns with the opening National League playoffs. No Dave Anderson this week with the hectic social distancing social calendar that he leads, but he will return very soon. So in the meantime, let's have a chat with those preparing for the return of competitive non-league football this weekend. So let's get a view of a manager then preparing, finally for a big Saturday match day. A bit of a trip facing his side heading down to Yeovil, but I'm sure our next guest will agree he'd take that over, twiddling his thumbs at home. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Barnet FC, Mr. Darren Curry. Welcome back, Darren.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure, but obviously under this protocol, I think the trip to Yeovil has got to be done in the same day. Does that mean an early start for you?
No, we're going to go on the Friday.
Okay.
So we've had that all okay. We've travelled down, so it'll be relatively normal in that respect. It'll be a training day on Friday, and then we'll jump on the bus and head down and spend the night down there just to save on the journey Saturday morning.
Yeah, mid July with the holiday traffic, probably not as bad as in previous years, but it's still a day and a coach for the lads. How are they preparing mentally, physically? I guess you've got them up to speed, but mentally, that's the big issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. In all fairness, Tim, you know, since we've come back out of lockdown and. Obviously, we're coming back in very different circumstances, but I think the one thing that lockdown has probably taught everyone that, you know, in most industries, if you've got a job that you love and you're enjoying and you're missing it, you know, you just look forward to getting back. So the mentality side of it has been fine because the boys have wanted to get back on the grass, and when you're a football player, there's nothing better than being around your teammates with the ball at your feet. So it's been quite an easy transition getting everyone back in, but obviously for slightly different circumstances than normal.
Yeah, in a way, we're all envious of you because you are the lucky ones. You're the ones that are getting back into that competitive football, and you're literally hours away now from that kickoff. How excited are you about getting back to competitive games?
Well, it's different is obviously. You normally have a bit of time off. You come back in pre-season. You have five or six pre-season games before you're building into a 46-game campaign, aren't you? So, in that respect, it's very different. We've been training, trying to condense what we would normally do in a six-week period into a four-week period. And it's all for 90 minutes. So, it's all or nothing. So, we're going down there with a mentality. It's win or bust, isn't it? And that's how we've tried to train and prepare. So in that respect, it's very different. But our work's been done now. The players, I hope, are calm and excited by what's going to be happening on Saturday. It's just me that's got to sit on the sofa all night and overthink every possible scenario and change my mind a million times.
Well, I was chatting to someone that's not involved in football, actually. It was sort of explaining, you know, what this weekend means and all that. And we sort of came up with this analogy. It must be like being a sprinter because, as you say, you've done your pre-season. And I know, we always say, you know, it's great to get off to an important, a good start at the start of a season. You're not normally sort of that explosive start where you've got this just one game that you've got to organise for. So there must be a million and one permutations going through your head at the moment as to, you know, probably even which way you put your socks on Saturday.
I've got a lucky way of putting my socks on now. No, I'm only joking. Listen, I just think it's normally, you know, you can sort of build into finding that consistency and finding that sort of run of games that gets you up ahead of steam. But this is like the whole season in 90 minutes. So we're having to calculate because we've got more subs and there's drinks breaks and you know, you know that fatigue's going to hit one or two players, so you have to be ready to make changes. So there is just so much that potentially could play out in this 90 minutes. But as I've always stressed on my players, it's no different in this game. I want them to enjoy it. I don't want them to play with any fear. I want them to embrace what opportunity that they've given themselves, and basically just play with no fear and walk off the pitch with no regrets. And if you do that, and if we play to our levels, then we've got as good a chance as anyone.
Yeah, you want them to play without fear, but you need that. You need an element of nerves inside you, don't you? That nervous energy to get the best out of yourself. What about yourself? Do you get nervous before big games like this?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm relatively new to management, aren't I? So this is my first full season. So the only sort of experience I can lean on has been the cup games that we were involved in last year. And it is. It's a nervous excitement and a nervous energy. I'm just hopeful. Obviously, all the work we've done will hopefully play out in the game. But I really hope, because I think so much of my team, that they can go and produce the football that I know they're capable of. And then that will stand us in good stead for getting the right result.
Yeah, you obviously have great love for the players and the team that you've got around you there. Is it a bit like if you were doing exams where you cram, aren't you? You're cramming to get the best out of them. Actually, when you've had that pre-season camp as it's been, and it's been locked down, so there's been other, you know, not so many distractions as there would be outside, has it actually been quite a good time to bond with your players over the last 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it's been I would say that my relationship with the players has been pretty good anyway, because obviously when I first come back to Barnet, I came as a number two, so I had a very different sort of role to play under Stilly. John Steele, that is. But then, obviously, taking over as manager, it's important to me. It's one of my strengths and one of my attributes that I think my relationship with my players is crucial, as well as everything else that's required, obviously, the tactical stuff and the physical stuff, etc. But my relationship with my players, I think, is pretty crucial. Although we've had this four-week period to sort of bond again, you know, I think we're quite a tight-knit group, and I consider myself part of that, albeit I'm the manager and the one that has to shout at them once in a while.
Yeah, you definitely are. Look, as you say, you're a footballer's manager, which helps when you come in as number two, because you're the arm around them where Stilly could maybe bark the instructions a bit more than that you're now having to do. But you're also a man. You like ball work, don't you? You prefer a footballer to be learning his football with a ball at his feet. Were you able to do that almost from the outset? Did the players keep themselves fit and come back to you in a good, you know, state of fitness?
Yeah, I think modern day players tend to be in quite a really good condition anyway. Now they do tend to look after themselves with all social media. It's all a little bit, you know. They're a bit more posy, I suppose, if you like, and want to have the great body and what have you. So they're a bit more body conscious. So they look after themselves, and I'm not knocking that. That's good. It's part of the modern day game. And I've got a lot of young boys that are very athletic and very fit, and they do look after themselves, and they have done, and which is very pleasing. So what it's allowed us to do is come back and, I mean, I'm always going to be about the ball anyway, because that's the game we play. And we had the balls out from day one. Having said that, we have done some sort of runs with the testing for the boys that we done in pre-season last year. So we needed to do them again just to see the comparison, to sort of gauge where they were with their fitness. And because their numbers and the data was very good, it allowed us to get into the sort of tactical stuff sooner than I anticipated, in all fairness.
Yeah, and because you've got the weather forecast is probably not on your side as a footballer. It looks like it's going to be another warm Saturday, July afternoon. You mentioned those drinks breaks. have you had to, do the players know how they're going to work, or have you had to set that out to them? And, you know, it could have an impact on the way you play the game.
Well, do you know what? I've been watching, obviously, as many games as I can since football's been back on the TV, and you see so many of these fixtures at all levels. You see the flow of the game change after a drinks break. Mm. So, you know, we've discussed this as with the boys and with the group, and you know, you can quite easily be on the front foot and dominating the game, and you have a 30-second drinks break, and you find yourself camped in your own half right after the drinks break. So, you know, there's some strategy in place to be prepared for that, but that's what the game has become since we've come back from lockdown. It's become four quarters rather than two halves, isn't it?
Yeah, just something else for you to contemplate and try and get your head around. Now, we mention often on this show, certainly during the lockdown, about the fans missing out on these great occasions. But I know the club have been trying their hardest to embrace them. I love the fact that the club are going to be screening the game live at the Hive, and the curry for curry idea. So that certainly, although it's not quite the same, that there still seems to be a great buzz around the club, as you'd expect with playoffs.
Yeah, and they've been brilliant with me, the fans, from the minute I've sort of come back to the club as number two, and certainly since I've been in charge, they've been very, very supportive of me. And it's nice to see I've had a ton of messages off the fans, and it's nice to know that, you know, the club are trying to give something back. They're putting the game on the TV, and by all accounts, a lot of tickets have been sold. So, although they're not going to be down at the Oval with us, I know that they're going to be fully behind us, which is very much appreciated by myself and the team.
Yeah. Now, Oval, as we said, your opposition. Now, there's stats, there's reports, there's past games that you could watch on video, but actually, is this game more about your boys being ready and prepared than anything that the opposition can throw at you?
Listen, we've teed them up for all types of scenarios. They've got to be ready for everything that the game throws at us. They've got to be ready to defend. They've got to be ready to attack. They've got to be ready to change formation. They've got to be ready to have subs coming on and make an impact. So, you know, like I say, we have to be prepared for everything that the Oval are going to bring to us. And they're a good side at the end of the day. You know, that was recently in the league, and they've had a very good season. I know Darren Sol pretty well, and he's done a great job. So, you know, all we can do is give them as much preparation that we believe we have. And it's kind of I'll still have my role to play. Of course I will on the sideline, but once they cross the line, it's over to them, you know, and they've got to go and take this opportunity and embrace it.
Yeah, and of course, you're obviously in the playoffs due to the points per game scenario. I think you were 11th when play stopped, but you still had all those games in hand. So, quite rightly, you're 7th and into the playoffs. But I guess 4 months on, any freshness of legs of you know, those extra couple of games that you hadn't played is well and truly gone.
Yeah, and that's why I think that form is not going to play a part. It's going to come down to, you know, who's sort of freshest on the day, who can find their levels quicker than others, you know, because it's not for the run we was in of one defeat in 17 in all competitions. I don't believe personally that that's going to have any impact on Saturday's game whatsoever. So what we've tried to do is just get our boys in the fittest condition possible, and you know, just spent these last 4 weeks reminding them of what their strengths are and what their capabilities are. And we just all hope that they can put it all and piece it all together on Saturday.
Well, it certainly sounds like you've been very busy, putting us all to shame, really, because the rest of us have all been, you know, struggling to try and avoid late nights and you know, evening snacks in front of the TV. What about yourself? Are you slotted straight back into a regime around football?
Yeah, it's been my life, isn't it? Mm. So when you think you would normally get a 6 week period in the off season, this time it's been sort of 10, 12 weeks. So what I have done is I've got better at gardening, and my house is spotless, where I've had nothing else to do but tidy it all the time. And I've been on quite a few runs every morning with my wife, so we've got ourselves in a fitter condition. But you know, it's been good family time. But it's obviously my life is spent on the grass with a ball at my feet. So I've been really happy to be back at work.
So the best of everything in the Curry household then in recent weeks.
Well, listen, what we decided to do. My wife's a teacher, and obviously with my kids at school. You know, it's about my whole outlook on life is about embracing everything that comes your way. And I know it's been a very difficult time for the whole world to deal with what's gone on, but you know, we adhered to the rules that were put in place by the government, and we enjoyed spending time together, and we was all looking forward to the day that we came out the other side. So we've had a nice time together as a family, but I'm certainly very happy to be back at football.
Well, Darren, I love your philosophy. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Wish you well at the weekend, and hopefully we'll be speaking again very soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Tim.
So let's get the view of a chairman of this COVID-proof football preparation work, and a man known for stating his mind, probably an older friend of the non-league football show than we both care to remember, but it's always a pleasure to speak to Chairman of Boreham Wood FC, Mr. Danny Hunter, chuckling in the background there. Welcome back, Danny.
How are you, Tim?
I'm good. Now, what about yourself? You're 24 hours away from hosting Halifax Town in this playoff eliminator. Now, despite a great season again last term, I don't think either of us expected to be in this position, you know, even, 6 weeks ago. People don't realise how busy June and July normally are for people running football clubs, but this one even more so. Have you even had any time to think about football?
Well, I think that's all we ever do, all of us, isn't it? Think football. I'm not sure our life could exist without it. I mean, what we have all come through is something that we could never have ever foreseen. So suddenly to finish in mid-March and then fly a playoff status in mid-July it's turned what's normally an exhaustive season into almost a pre-season tournament with so much preparation in terms of whether it's testing or getting the ground ready and one-way systems and dealing with the press. But again, it still comes down to that old adage, we're three games away from perhaps being in the Football League, and that's what we all do it for, is to compete.
Yeah, and you've mentioned some of those measures that the hoops you're having to jump through. But yeah, the testing, being able to start only in small groups, and then there were the issues as to whether we were allowed friendlies. And as you mentioned, I mean, the match day preparations, although you haven't got so many people there as you do you would on a big game like this, there's so many things you'll be testing. You know, the even the few members of press that will be there. There's a whole new rule book that's having to come into play.
Yeah, it is strange. I've just had to bill in for the last 4 weeks of testing with the players, and that's come in at nearly 13,000.
Wow.
But again, you know, the hardest thing is you look at it and it's not anything you could have ever budgeted for. Mm. But it's... you know, you've got to put your hand in your pocket, and, you know, we're all in it, as I say, to compete. And, you know, our town and our little club deserve the right to have a go and see how far we get.
Well, talk about earning the right. I mean, in summer's gone past, it's been... Your neighbours over at Elstree Studios, they've been the centre of national attention at this time of year, you know, with shows like Big Brother and that sort of thing. And they're slowly getting back to working over there again, I believe. But the spotlight's on you. You know, it's on you as a club, or as non-league football. Again, no pressure at all. But your football club's going to be the centre of attention on Friday night hosting this tie. Does that sort of...
is that almost like completing the project of you've done so much there at Boreham Wood? You've put yourself at the centre there?
No, I think we're a little community. It's always been known as a film town. I spent 25 years in the film industry as a prop master and I wouldn't say we're putting ourselves front and centre, but what I would say is we've earned the right for 15 minutes of fame, and if it takes us to the EFL, then we'd be delighted. But, you know, if you come and see what we've done and you see, you know, the pitch looks beautiful, the stands and everything are gleaming, you know, I've watched the staff today, they're still there now, and you've got the faces in the crowd, and you've got, you know, BT Sport are getting the outside broadcast trucks in, and you know, it just, you can feel there's an excitement amongst the staff and the players. We've got a very good team in coming down in Halifax. They led the league early on for quite a while. Again, we're playing a big ex-league club. And tomorrow's going to be strange, really, because normally you could expect a full house, two sets of partisan fans, the place rocking, and it's obviously behind closed doors. So obviously we're beholden now to the radio stations and BT Sport to show it to the nation, and hopefully we can give them a good game.
Yeah, and looking at the weather forecast with hotter temperatures sort of planned over the weekend, I guess Luke and the lads must be pleased that you've got a Friday night game and not a hot July Saturday afternoon.
No, listen, it's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Hopefully the heat would have gone out of the day. It's actually my birthday tomorrow, so I'm hoping they'll give me a little birthday present. The forecast is wonderful. I'm sure they'll put the sprinklers on before, and it's a beautiful surface. And as I say, we'll welcome Halifax down and may the best team win.
Well, birthday boy as well. We've spoken before about what it would mean for you and all involved at Boreham Wood, that team that you've put together, if you gain promotion to the Football League. But you're the masters of the underdogs. It's your birthday. This year in particular, the way things have all, fallen, well, not into place, out of place, really. Have you got a feeling in your water?
I always have a feeling in my water, especially on my birthday. But what I would say is, look, it wasn't that long ago. You know, I go back I've been 21 seasons at the Wood, and I go back to 2005-06, and we were going to the places like Great Wakering and Potter's Bar in the Southern Eastern Division. We came through that, and then we won the playoffs in the Ryman Prem. Then we came through that and we won the playoffs in the Conference South. And we've only ever lost once in the playoffs, and that was obviously to Tranmere at Wembley. So you're right, we are an underdog club, and and there's no pressure. I don't feel there's any pressure on us. I feel my gaffer is 2 years wiser than he was at Wembley. We've got a fabulous squad that got committed staff. And I just feel there's just a part of everybody. Well, if it goes our way, all well and good. And if it doesn't, then we'll roll our sleeves up and we'll get ready, hopefully, for another campaign in September, where we'll see if the underdog can come through again. But obviously, we've got a chance. We've got a chance now. We're three games away. Halifax will feel the same. Barnet and Yeovil will feel the same. Notts County and Harrogate are waiting for the quarter finalists to see, and we all now know that to the victor the spoils, and we'd all, I'd personally like to walk up Wembley Way again, for the second time in 3 years. Yeah. But listen, Halifax are going to have a big say in that, aren't they?
There's some very competitive games ahead of us, and hopefully you've got a few en route there. Now, I remember I've been involved with my club. I remember coming to Boreham Wood when you first got involved and seeing plans of your expansion and how you were going to take. That was probably 20 odd years ago, and that's when digital plans. It was sort of. It was certainly pen and ink, I think, that were up on the wall. But, and you go to clubs up and down the country or whatever, and that everybody's got plans. But you really brought everything to fruition there. And if anybody doesn't know the Boreham Wood story, as you say, if they can watch the TV coverage on Friday evening, they'll see what a great place Boreham Wood is now to watch football. And, you know, in the current situation, we've got clubs that are struggling with revenue streams, that where they can't open the bar, they're looking for different things, and you've got a slightly different business model. And do you think more and more people are going to now follow your business blueprint as a football club?
I think the hard thing for a lot of clubs, they've got a much larger support base than us, and I'm not always sure supporters will be patient enough to allow people to follow my blueprint. I mean, I had very, very patient supporters. I mean, I remember, I'm probably going back with you, Tim, when, with Hayes and Hayes, when, with probably Terry Brown was the gaffer at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, you know, I think that was before we went down to Aldershot and then Wimbledon. So that, but I'm not quite sure if people are patient enough for that anymore. The great thing about being, I suppose, the chairman of a smaller club is that, as I say, there's a different expectation. Expectation, don't get me wrong, is rising all the time, and we're getting bigger all the time, but it's always been a step-by-step sort of journey. And as I say, we're now in at top table and non-league. I feel we've earned the right to be there on a consistent basis. But also the patience is shown. We were 2 years ago, we were at Wembley, and last year we were fifth bottom. Having Ian Allinson and now Luke, you know, I've probably had two managers in 15 years, and, you know, Ian stood down because of work commitments when we went full time, and Luke's been there ever since. And I think he's developed through patience and through his own hard work into one of the best young managers probably outside the Football League. And so I'm not sure everyone will follow our blueprint, because I'm not sure they'll be allowed to, because people nowadays are very, very impatient. And so that I think that's a difficulty for a lot of owners and chairmen and chief execs.
Yeah, certainly. There's plenty of clubs that have had more managers this season than you have in the last 15, as you mentioned. Now, what about if the boys go on the run? You got the feeling in your water, everything, all the planets aligning, and what about if they go all the way and the club, you know, does get this promotion? Can you compete in the Football League?
Yeah. The structures are now in place. We've got a fabulous sports education program that's been well established for many, many years. All the medical side is all in place. The you know, things like catering and everything else, everything's on. We've built a really, with the help of the local authorities and the Football Foundation have been good, and I've put a couple of bob in myself. And so we've built the stadium slowly and with, you know, with love and understanding, that we didn't want to sort of just add so it looked like a box set. We, you know, we wanted to take our time. And so, yeah, if we go up, I'm absolutely convinced we'd more than be able to hold our own.
What about Danny Hunter? Would that be you in football finished, or have you got even more dreams and ambitions if you got to the Football League?
I don't know if there's much more that I possibly could do. I would like to finish the south end of the ground off and create, you know, something special, you know, with education and a lot of the the kids that we, you know, we deal with a lot of social deprivation. We deal with a lot of kids that need a you know, just a chance. In you know, in and around South Hertfordshire and North London. But yeah, no, I don't know what it would mean for me, really. I think what I know is I've got I'm probably 6 weeks away from putting a planning application in for the south end of the ground, which would be it would be quite incredible. We'd finish that side of the ground off. We would create a new education sort of structure, which probably won't have been seen in football at our level before. But again, I think the first thing we have to do is deal with tomorrow night and know that a magic moment, a refereeing decision, a penalty shootout, send you to the next round, or as I say, or that's football, isn't it? That's the dream over for another year. So I'm sure whatever happens tomorrow night, it's not quite the end of me yet.
Well, Danny, we wish you all the best in Friday night's game, and if you get through further on, and I'm sure we will speak again soon. But always good value. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, Danny Hunter, Chairman at Boreham Wood.
Thank you, Tim. God bless.
So let's head on over to virtual non-league paper Towers as ever for our weekly roundup, and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to David Richardson, the senior writer at the Non-League Paper. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good, and it's finally here. It's finally here, the competitive non-league football. Did we ever think we'd get here?
I've got to admit, I didn't really see it coming, to be honest.
I think there was plenty of times throughout the last few months where we didn't think it was going to happen, if I'm honest. After seeing Steps 3 and 7 shut down pretty early on, I think any sort of season conclusion in the National League, I think at that time looked pretty unlikely. Although what did become apparent was that the National League were prepared to wait as long as possible, and of course they stated how you know, they're very much sort of joined with the EFL, and what they do with accepting you know, teams down from League Two. So I think maybe as time went on, it looked more likely. Although that being said, there were still plenty of hurdles to get over, and now, yeah, it sort of seems somewhat surreal that we're now in a position where we're going to be seeing some football again.
Now I'm a man that's worked in live broadcasting for too many years than I care to remember. But you say about, you know, they were happy to leave it until the last minute. We're speaking Thursday evening, the first game Friday evening, Boreham Wood, Halifax Town, and we've only just found out about the streaming of these National League North and National League South games. Talk about leave it to the last minute. Brilliant that it's happening, well, hopefully fans will be able to enjoy the games that we're all looking forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess obviously part of the rush, I suppose, is maybe led to this. I don't know quite the full ins and outs of sort of how we've come to this streaming service that's going to be put on. Obviously, there was the possibility of BT Sport televising the Step 2 games as they're doing at Step 1. But now they're working in partnership with Sport Radar, which is another partner of the National League, to get the games on online, which fans will be able to watch through then. So, yes, it has been a little bit slapdash, I suppose, you know, in terms of getting to this stage. But I think ultimately supporters will be grateful that they will be able to see the games in some capacity and for a pretty reasonable price as well on the streaming service.
Yeah, if it'll be all right on the night, a social reference, there's probably way too many years before you were even born, David, there. But if it's all right on the night, we'll all be happy, and we'll all be able to enjoy games that actually the majority of non-league fans wouldn't have been able to enjoy in normal circumstances. So it may put us in an even better position than we would have been in a standard season.
Well, that's right. I guess I think probably particularly at this time as well, with having not seen non-league football for so long, you know, there will perhaps be more of an audience of people wanting to watch these games. As you say, in a regular season, you know, people wouldn't be able to perhaps get to these matches, you know, with other things, with other playoffs at other levels going on. So, yeah, we'll see how things pan out. Hopefully, we'll have a uninterrupted few weeks of non-league football to watch.
And it'll be interesting with the other records being expunged from various steps around the pyramid. It'll be interesting to see what the official attendances are for these games and how they go down in the records. Hopefully, a bumper non-league crowd, which will mean that when we do finally get back and underway with a new non-league season, we'll have a few more people drifting in the gates wanting to watch some non-league football.
Yeah, I hope so. I think obviously what TV and broadcasts do is give non-league more of a platform, really. And I think we're always probably crying out for the non-league game to perhaps get more coverage. And in turn, that obviously leads to more people knowing about their local clubs and ultimately helping them out financially. If you know, if they choose to go to a game or they get a season ticket or whatever it may be. Of course, we have non-league day, which has been going for over a decade now, which is, you know, seems to get bigger and bigger each year. So things like TV broadcasts do help. And I guess particularly at a time where a lot of people are at home and should indeed be able to watch them.
Yeah, and you touched upon it earlier about the, you know, we're in this unprecedented time and things have had to move very, very quickly and in difficult circumstances. Other news this week, the FA Council have ratified now the National League's actions in terms of deciding the divisions on points per game and various relegations, which is good because otherwise all those preparations for this weekend's playoffs may well have been in vain. But it sounds like it's all a rush, but there's a system, there's a protocol, and all these things help football move more smoothly, but it doesn't normally have to move this quickly.
Yeah, that's right. It was another sort of quite late decision, really, I suppose, or outcome to be publicised. There was quite a lot of clamour on Twitter and other social medias sort of asking why the FA hadn't ratified the decision yet. What was taking them so long to come to a decision? Personally, I didn't really buy into that. I thought that the decision would go through anyway. So when they made it, wasn't really an issue. You know, it's not easy to get over 100 council members all together on a Zoom call for a meeting just on a whim, really. To try and make that decision. So as I say, although some people may not have liked how late it has come, personally, I don't particularly see what the sort of issue was really in that. It was never going to be the situation where the FA suddenly overruled what the National League wanted to do and what their clubs wanted to do. And also allowing the National League home at Wembley for the final if they weren't then going to let them play in the playoffs. Yeah. So a slightly sort of interesting saga, I suppose.
It was always going to happen. And as you touched upon there, if the ability to organise over 100 people onto a Zoom call, I think I may well be tapping into those people at the FA to maybe organise my future family quizzes. Just to get a few households online at the same time, it's difficult enough. So, you know, a little hat tip to the FA Council for being able to organise in a virtual world, in a difficult world, in a world probably many on that council are unused to. So it's a learning game for all of us. Now, one of the things from that ratification of the FA Council does mean that there's some big-name clubs with some big-name managers like Avsie Fard and Absolutely United, that they'll be going to start in the new season in step two.
Yeah, that's right. They've announced their intentions not to follow up with any legal action over the decision. Ebbsfleet put out a very classy statement, in my opinion, of what they thought about the situation, and sort of put it forward in pretty straightforward terms to their supporters, I think, as we saw with the South Shields legal challenge, which didn't end well for the club. I think really it would have been perhaps a hiding to nothing, and equally Barnard have reluctantly accepted relegation as well. It seems like we say it every year, but the National League North in particular looks as strong as ever at the moment. And Fylde, of course, will only add to that with their infrastructure that they have, also being full-time as well, and the resources available to them. So another interesting division there. But obviously disappointment for those two clubs to be relegated, of course, in those circumstances.
Yeah, and it also in step two, news this, earlier today from Hampstead Town, not only their conversion from grass to 3G sort of coming along very, very nicely, but they've also finally announced their new manager in the form of Lee Burcham.
Yeah, that's right. I think as the non-league paper hinted at a few weeks ago, it was been on the cards for a little while.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, sort of what's the saying? A badly kept secret, I think it was in the end. But no, good to see your manager, as we've seen quite a lot recently, I think, in non-league, getting the chance to step up and manage a club at a higher level. And obviously, Lee Burcham deserves that chance for what he's done at Berkhamsted. And we look forward to seeing how he gets on there at Hemel. Very much sort of an established club now, really, at National League South level. And it'll be interesting to see whether he can push them on and get them back into the playoffs, where they've been up and around over the last few seasons and challenging again.
Yeah, as you say, we spoke to Danny Robinson earlier on in lockdown. He's made the step from four up to two as well with Hungerford Town, and quite often we have this debate that the pro game should give an opportunity to young managers that have proven themselves in non-league. But we've seen that recently, Ian Evatt that's making the step up to Bolton, etc. But non-league needs to do the same as well, doesn't it? And give these managers that have proven themselves at steps four, steps three, step five even, to give them an opportunity to work with bigger resources and bigger clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we see it at all levels, don't we? Perhaps the same old names taking up similar jobs in divisions. And it just keeps on, seems to be going around like that. So it's good, like you say, to see managers getting their chance higher up in the pyramid. We sort of have seen it a lot, haven't we, sort of over the years when clubs take what could be perceived as a gamble on someone who might not be experienced at a level, but it turns out to be a masterstroke. So I guess the Cowley brothers who are now at Huddersfield might be one of the cases of that. Obviously going from Concord to Braintree and then to Lincoln, where they had only managed for one season at Braintree in the National League before they won it with Lincoln. So just goes to show what can happen, really. And as I say, good to see Lee get his chance there at Hemel, and we look forward to seeing how he gets on.
Yeah, and so new managers being appointed, 3G pitches getting ready. There's something in the air. I can almost sniff the new season.
Yeah, hopefully. I think we are expecting news from the FA, hopefully this week. There's still a bit of time, I think, in it left for announcement to come out about the plans for the new season and also the grassroots game as well. Like I said, I think we were expecting news this week. It seems to perhaps taken a little bit longer to come out as we would have liked, but I think they're is still hope that something could come out, either sort of not long after we're speaking now on Thursday evening or Friday. So it seems like things, once again, as we seem to say every week, are very slowly and surely progressing. Hopefully next time we talk, we'll have a little bit more concrete.
We're like a toddler learning to walk. It's very, very, very small steps, but getting more assured as we go forward. And it's a perfect thing to you know, maybe buy the non-league paper at the weekend to make sure that you can read what hopefully the FA will make an announcement in time for you to print it in the paper. But obviously, we got a weekend of football. You got a weekend of things to report on, but it's a long weekend as well. So what can we expect to read in this weekend's paper, David?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got lots of playoff coverage this weekend. I'll be at Boreham Wood against Halifax on Friday evening, which kicks off the playoff schedule. And then I'll be heading down to Yeovil for their game against Barnet. And then on Sunday, I'll be at Slough. So there'll be plenty of, as I'm saying, coverage of the playoff action in Sunday's paper. But once again, if you're not a fan of one of those clubs involved, or even a fan at that level, there's plenty more to be interested in. We've got a nice piece of Paul Benson, who's a very familiar name in non-league circuit. One of John Steele's great gems that he found, and very much a well-known name in the non-league circuit. And we've also got dedicated news pages for each of the leagues across steps 3 to 5 and 6 as well. So as I always say, there's something in there for everyone. But it's really a packed edition this week. We're struggling to get it all in at the moment. So it should keep you busy for Sunday and beyond, I should think.
A packed weekend for you as well. Flitting around the country, you've been stuck inside a lockdown cage, and now they've let you free.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's dog off a leash, isn't it? Is that the saying? It's yeah, very much looking forward to getting out really and getting to the games. It's been interesting, obviously planning for them. The clubs, you know, even up to what the press can do, sort of have guidelines for each match day. I have to fill out a symptoms questionnaire on the morning of the game and return it to the clubs. And then when you arrive, you get your temperature checked. You have to wear a face mask as well. So all these protocols in place that will be very different to the usual match going experience. But very much looking forward to getting out and seeing some live football.
And in the olden days, you'd be now, you know, getting your pencil case ready, sharpening your pencils, and getting them all ready to travel with you. I guess it's just making sure that you've got a charged laptop a battery now and a mobile phone charger.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually a bit worried that I've forgotten how to write a match report. So any eagle-eyed readers, perhaps don't look too closely on Sunday morning at the report for any possible mistakes. But no, hopefully it will all go smoothly as usual. And yes, like you say, I'll make sure there's plenty of juice in the laptop as well.
And hopefully plenty of juice in the non-league paper that we can all pick up on Sunday or get your digital subscription. David, thanks for joining us as ever on the Non-League Football Show, and look after yourself.
Cheers, Tim.
That's it for this week. A big thank you to all of my guests as ever, and a big thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson's at DaveAnderson78, Caroline Barker at Caroline Barker, and myself at Tim Fuller. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. You can still find there the archived non-league gaffer tapes, and there will be some more coming from Dave Anderson on that front soon. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA. Thank you.